Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid as we take you through everything happening in fantasy sports and a little bit of sports wagering, of course, on the side. I'm Craig Mish with George Kurtz with you here on the show. We're going to preview the daily fantasy slate in the NBA tonight, talk a little, of course, NFL on the show, and a lot of the players that you used to draft in fantasy baseball have a shot to get into the National Baseball Hall of Fame later today. So we'll talk about that as well. I'm Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz, with you here on the show for the 2 hours. George, great to be with you today. I know that we have a special ceremony coming up for future Hall of Famers. We've got the AFC and NFC Championship coming up as well. Good time to be involved in sports, I would say.
Absolutely, actually. We also got the Major League Baseball Players Association and the owners actually talking 2 days in a row, giving me a little bit of hope, Craig. I actually have a little bit of hope now that they can figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but I will take anything that we could get at this point. I would love to be doing fantasy baseball content, preparing you for how to play DFS baseball and how to, you know, prepare for your fantasy baseball seasons, but there's still so much in flux. Of course, pitchers and catchers are supposed to report in a little under a month from now. That's where we'll begin with our headlines today here on Fantasy Sports Today. As the players and the owners are heating up their talks, I guess you could say that. They're meeting for the second consecutive day, so we'll see what happens. Shorthanded Chicago Bulls, they hold on after giving up a 28-point lead last night, but they end up getting the win against, I believe it was Oklahoma City, if I'm not mistaken. Kansas, number 5, wins a double overtime thriller over number 13, Texas, as we're about 2 months away from the college basketball crowning a new champion there, and Andrew Whitworth on pace to face the 49ers, of course, for the Los Angeles Rams. And I know, George, it's been a couple of days since the games on Sunday and Saturday, and I'm sure you were watching all of them and enjoying all of them. What are your thoughts on the big games coming up this weekend?
Well, it's going to be hard to top the Chiefs and Bills. That was a hell of a game. I mean, my wife actually watched the end of that game. Let you know how much of a game that was, because I was actually yelling about it, and I'm not even a Bills or Chiefs fan, but it was that exciting to watch at the end there. So I'm looking forward to it. I do think for the Bills, unless they're a letdown because they think that was a championship game, I think they, I don't want to say roll on Sunday, but I think they take care of business against the Bengals here and win the game. It may not be an easy win, but I don't think it'll be all that difficult either. I think they're feeling, I think they're sort of on a mission here, to use that, that pun we hear from teams at times, to make up for what happened last year. right, last year when they sort of they didn't play very well against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. They couldn't protect Mahomes at all here. So I do think the Chiefs take care of business at home there. The other one, you know, Craig, it's like, you know, San Fran has now beaten the Rams 6 times in a row. But, I mean, the Rams are a better team. But sooner or later, I mean, aren't I an idiot if I don't believe in the 49ers? Like, Craig, you slapped me six times in a row. The seventh time, I should probably duck. Right? I know it's coming. I should duck, and I'm not. I'm going to hit me again. I just don't get it here. I just don't get it. When you think about it, the 49ers probably shouldn't even be here. They were down 17-0 at almost halftime of Week 18. They lose that game, they're done. It's over. They win that game. They beat Dallas. They beat Green Bay. And I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. I thought with Dallas, okay, Dallas had looked good on offense for a while outside of playing the NFC East. But how they shut down Green Bay, that was impressive, Craig. It was impressive.
Yeah. No, I thought so. And I'm with you with the 49ers here at this point. Like, it just comes down to just you continually doubt a team can win. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as we welcome in our radio audience here to SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com, if I'm not mistaken, that was the fourth straight road win for the 49ers in the playoffs. So it's sort of an incredible run. I know they've been comparing a former Giants team to the 49ers, and it does sort of feel like that. Like, you know, snuck in the playoffs, down 17-0, and then all of a sudden came back and won. And they have the best player on the field in the NFC, in my opinion, George and Deebo Samuel. I mean, look, I love Cooper Kupp, nothing against him. But, I mean, Deebo, to me, is just such a dynamic figure there. I'm with you. I think that they, you know, certainly have a chance. I guess the question is, do you think Cincinnati has a chance this week against Kansas City? I know the last time they played, you would have said yes.
I think they got a shot, yeah. They do. The question is, can they protect Burrow? I mean, 9 sacks, that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Did anybody adjust and make adjustments during the game to say, hey, maybe we need to get rid of the ball quicker. Maybe we need to have extra protection, max protection, because 9 sacks, that can't happen again. Just can't happen again. You got away with that against Tennessee because Tannehill was bad, right? Tannehill, for a guy who's not a young quarterback, he's not a Grizzles veteran, but he's not a young quarterback either. He looked like a deer in the headlights in that game. I don't know what it was. Then the interception on his first pass, and it really didn't get much better after that. Did not see that coming from Tannehill at all there. But sure, he goes once again with Chase, with Boyd, with Higgins, you know, Uzomo to a degree. They can score points too. You know, the question is, I just don't think they can score. Mahomes is just too good right now, and they have a defense. Chris Jones will get after Joe Burrow. We don't know if the Honey Badger Matthew is going to play in this game. He's still in concussion protocol as of today. We'll see. Right. I expect he does play. I think Kansas City stays home and wins the game.
Yeah. No, I can't wait to see the games this weekend. And hopefully they live up to the billing of last week. I don't know that anything can. I thought last Sunday night, as you mentioned, you know, my son, who watches very little football, was watching that game. We were watching the end going back and forth. It was an incredible scene for sure. All right, when we come back, those of you who were playing last night in DFS on basketball, we're going to tell you everything that happened, go through our fantasy standout, go through some of the big questions. In fact, our content here on the show, for those of you who watch every day, definitely a hard pivot over to the NBA, folks. We got NBA playing every single day while baseball tries to figure themselves out. We're going to be talking tons of hoops. We'll be back with more of that next here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today on SportsGrid. We continue on here on the show. Coming up, George and I are going to take a look at the 2022 election in the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Today is the day. Coming up a little bit later, George and I, of course, avid fantasy baseball fans and baseball fans. And I guess in 10 years, if I sign up for the Baseball Writers Association of America, I could have a vote. We technically don't have a vote, but we will give our mock ballots today here on the show and talk a little fantasy baseball from the past with you guys as well. Mix in some NFL, no doubt. All right, let's bring in Brett Levy. We've got games tonight in the NBA, and certainly we're going to preview that coming up. But first, let's go through our fantasy standouts. Brett, fun night last night, I saw, in a couple of the games in the NBA.
Yeah, lots of good games, Craig. We had some late fourth quarter comebacks in the Knicks game, as well as that Bulls Oklahoma City game that we mentioned in the hour one headlines. You know, the Pacers game came down to the wire as well, Craig. So not the marquee names for all the games, but a lots of good competitive basketball being played, and it made for a fun night in DFS as well.
All right, so let's take a look at the fantasy standouts from last night, and then we'll get your analysis from it, Brett. For the Thunder last night, SGA had 31 points, 10 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, and 1 block in that wild game against the Bulls. Nikola Vucevic had 26 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Zach LaVine had 23, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. And then over to the Suns we go. Devin Booker with 33 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And the huge game of the night had to go to Chris Paul, who had 14 assists last night, 9 rebounds to go along with his 27 points and 1 steal. So obviously the Chris Paul game to me, Brett, stands out. What stands out for you?
Yeah, Chris Paul played really well for the Phoenix Suns last night. Bismack Biyombo had a double-double for the Phoenix Suns last night as well, Craig. So Phoenix getting much-needed contributions from all over. And look, that's a big win against the Utah Jazz. Obviously, no Donovan Mitchell, no Rudy Gobert, not a full-strength Jazz team. But it won't matter in the standings at the end of the year. That's a win over a team right up there in the conference standings. So that was a big win for Phoenix. I think there were a lot of interesting games last night, Craig. Dwayne Washington Jr., a young point guard on the Indiana Pacers, had 21 points, Craig. All of them threes. He hit 7 threes last night. No other basket. So that's an interesting stat line there. Something to follow from Indiana. And look, Kevin Love, it continues to be really, really good for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Craig. And I don't think anyone was expecting to say that in the year 2022. So, the Kevin Love resurgence, and, you know, he's hitting threes, hitting big shots in the third quarter for the Cavaliers. That was fun to see. It was like throwback Kevin Love. And he's been producing every night for this team, Craig. So really interesting to watch and keep our eye on that as well, if he can continue to be a key cog for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, hopefully so. You know, and look, Cleveland, I think if I'm not mistaken, is already, I think Brett, they're either over their win total already that was on FanDuel at the beginning of the season, or they're like very close. I noticed they have the biggest plus margin, plus minus even from losses too on FanDuel this season. So the Cavs are far better than anybody would have thought. I think the Lakers probably on their plus minus are the worst. I was looking at that the other day where we stand. All right, so let's get to some big questions. How is this even a question? I don't understand this one. Would you rather have RJ Barrett or Zion Williamson? I'm looking forward to you making the case for Zion here. Will Anthony Davis be enough to help save the Lakers season? They certainly didn't look good against the Heat on Saturday. And are the Phoenix Suns the most likely team to come out of the West? They were the team last year. It looks like Utah may be taking a little bit of a step back this season. West is very top heavy. Unlike in years past where you could go 8 deep, Brett, and find 8 really good playoff teams in the West, I'm not really sure that you can this season. So let's start off with the first one here. You're going to have to sell me on Zion here over RJ Barrett. Feel free.
Yeah, well, Craig, I think you raise a lot of good points. Like, RJ Barrett's put together 2 very healthy seasons. He's actually playing his best basketball of his career right now for the New York Knicks. So I'm fully with you, Craig. I would be on the RJ Barrett train, but I will give some hope out there to the Zion fans and say this. If I was a small market team, Craig, a team that is really going to struggle to truly bring in a generational, once-in-a-lifetime talent, I would absolutely keep my door open for Zion Williamson, because if he gets right, you know, the sky's the limit for this guy. Now, personally, I'm very concerned about a big man with a foot injury. We've seen it plenty and plenty of times over and over again in the NBA where it's a really concerning thing. But, you know, there's still hope for Zion Williamson. He's like, what, 23 years old, Craig? So it's crazy to think about. But, like, guys used to get drafted at 24, and this guy's been in the league for a few years at 23. So there's still time for Zion to figure it out. But I am fully with you. in the RJ Barrett train. He looks like a really good pick for the New York Knicks. And he's been, you know, leading them in scoring the last few games, which is obviously a good sign. Anthony Davis, Greg, comes back tonight, excuse me, for the Los Angeles Lakers. And look, I think his impact will be most felt on the defensive end. A guy that blocks shots, gets some steals, can switch on to wing ball handlers as well. Really versatile player. So I think defensively, we'll see a big impact immediately. And hopefully offensively, you know, with conditioning, he'll get his game up to pace. Rumor has it he's been working on his jump shot while he's been out injured. So we'll see how that looks tonight as well, Craig. And then the last question, are the Phoenix Suns most likely team to come out of the West? Well, Craig, you'd have a tough time finding anyone else to come out of the West. Phoenix, 9 losses on the year, 9-1 in their last 10 games, Craig. They're looking good. They don't have Ayton. Mikal Bridges basically disappears last night. They still beat a pretty good Utah Jazz team. So Chris Paul is, you know, doing what he does best, dishing out the basketball, getting his hands on some big-time steals, Craig. And he's a, you know, really efficient offensive player, so he's scoring at a good pace. And, you know, Devin Booker's the scorer we all knew he was. So I think as Phoenix continues to get healthy, they're going to be a scary team to watch in the West. And, you know, they could really be the team to beat out there. It's crazy to think about.
All right, no doubt, Brett. Before, you know, we're going to do the National Baseball Hall of Fame ballots coming up. I know that, Brett, you know, certainly you have your opinions on this. Anybody outside of David Ortiz today you think either gets in the Hall of Fame or you would have put in the Hall of Fame today?
Well, Craig, I'm a Mets fan, so maybe I think of the NL East as, like, you know, as really tough juggernaut, but Andrew and Chipper Jones, those two guys, when they were together in Atlanta, I did not have fun going to Braves games, Craig, as a child. So Andrew Jones, to me, I know the Dodgers contract didn't really work out, but his time in Atlanta, he certainly seemed like a surefire Hall of Famer to me.
All right, there you go. We got him. Check mark on your ballot, Brett. Thanks again for coming on. We'll check in with Brett a little bit later in the show. We'll take a look at our daily fantasy segment and going over... looks like a pretty decent slate tonight in the NBA, so we'll have that for you coming up. But up next, we are just hours away from finding out exactly who gets into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Is anyone going to get into the Hall of Fame today? Well, at least according to Ryan Thibodeau's baseball tracker, which I know a lot of people you probably follow on Twitter. If you don't, you should. David Ortiz is the only one that is trending on that over. But naturally, George and I are not going to have a ballot with just one player. And we both have followed the game for a long time. So we'll mix in a little fantasy content with Hall of Fame content coming up next. Today's a great day to do it. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz. Well, today is a big day for baseball fans. No, the lockout is not over. We still have the lockout going on. As soon as it is over, that'll be a big day for baseball fans. But at the very least, I would call George today a distraction. And a distraction in the sense that the National Baseball Hall of Fame, I believe at 4 o'clock Eastern, if I'm not mistaken, is going to announce the 2022 Hall of Fame class that the writers vote in this season. Of course, there are other from those Legends committees that are getting in as well. Jim Cott, Tony Oliva, Gil Hodges, I believe, are some of those. So, George, I thought the exercise would be done today. You, of course, have a huge baseball acumen from your past of who should, you know, players that you've watched you thought should be in the Hall of Fame or not. Many people on this, you know, who watch our show, we've talked tons of fantasy baseball, so a lot of these players have been on our fantasy baseball teams in the past too. But I guess before we take a look at my players that I want in and your players that you want in, what do you make of this process at this point? Is it outdated? Do you think they should change it? Is it fair? Is it not fair? So many questions that I probably have for you.
Oh, we can talk about just this for the rest of the show, right? Right. I think the first thing, I'd like to see the writers who vote actually still be covering the sport. All right? That's the first thing that comes to mind. Some of these writers don't cover it anymore. They haven't in a long time. How does that make any sense? All right, why are they still voting here? The second would be, I think all ballots should be made public. You know, once again, you want to vote on it? Put it out there so we all know. You know, none of this were a private ballot. We don't know who you voted for. That makes, once again, makes no sense to me in this day and age. You should be accountable for what you're saying here. Now, I'm the first person to tell you, I don't care who gets in. Haven't for a long time. You know, I used to really care. That being said, love to debate it. Love to debate it up the wazoo here, but I think it's a little political, where some of these writers are voting for their friends or people who gave them good interviews or were nice to them, and the guys who are jerks to them. Like any, you know, it's just human nature. You're a jerk to me. I'm not voting for you ever. That sort of thing. So it's an interesting dynamic of what goes on here. What's your definition of a Hall of Famer? You know, sure. Everything goes into this, Craig. So it drives me. It's interesting to say the least.
Yeah, and look, the thing is that like people, you know, some people like the way the writers vote. Some people don't like individual writers. I mean, it's subject to opinion, like anything else. It's a popularity contest in a lot of ways. The only thing that I sort of hate are the blank ballots. Like, I think you could probably find a way to have one of these players that are on the ballot this year get in the Hall of Fame. The blank ballot thing always, you know, sort of got to me. Because I do feel that these are humans. This is an honor. These people have families. This is a life-changing event. And to just sort of make a mockery of that, to me, is not something that I like. Now, if you only put one person or two, or you have a good explanation, okay, fine. But blank, like, give up the vote if that's the case. So here's my best shot, George. I know this is going to be, and nobody likes anybody's ballot, so nobody will like mine anyway. But somebody asked me about this about a month ago, and here's what I came up with. So I'll have Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens going in. Of course, I don't think they're either going in. Bonds a slightly better shot than Clemens today, but those are the two for me that stand above the rest. And then I have David Ortiz. I do believe Scott Rowland is a Hall of Famer, although he's not going to get in this season. Jeff Kent, to me, is one of the more underrated players on this ballot, who I like a lot. Curt Schilling, despite not wanting to be in the Hall of Fame via the writers, and he's going to get his wish this year, I still do think he is a Hall of Famer, and I still would vote for him. And then Gary Sheffield is the final one for me, because if, you know, simply put, I'm putting Bonds and Clemens in, I feel comfortable that I can put Gary Sheffield in too. I've always maintained this, George, that what really hurts players not getting in to the Hall of Fame are the players that you can't associate with one team or even two teams. It's a dynamic that I really can't quantify, because I'm sure you could go back in history and find players that have gotten in the Baseball Hall of Fame that have played on several teams. But for me, when you can't identify a player with a fan base, it just becomes tougher, because you don't get that support from former players and from fans and from writers that covered you for a long period of time. And I think that's where Sheffield struggles. I think that's where Jeff Kent really struggles on playing on several teams. And to me, I think that's an element that helps a guy like David Ortiz, that helped a guy like Ozzie Smith, or, you know, I mean, who deserves to be in, and Cal Ripken, and you know, Ryan Sandberg, Mike Schmidt. Like, those players, they don't exist anymore. Players play on a lot of different teams. It was just so much easier back then to find that. And I do think playing on several teams where you can't identify it hurts the player. And I think that's why Kent particularly and Sheffield were hurt. So before we get to yours, take a look at mine. What do you think?
Yeah, on your last point, I think what also hurts Kent and Sheffield is that they were jerks. Right? Neither one of them was known as a great guy. You know, I think that hurts them as well there with the writers. The other guys, yeah, you mentioned, Ozzie, Cal Ripken, those guys were all known as good guys. Right? And listen, Ozzie and Cal Ripken are in anyway, but the other guys who are maybe borderline were known as good guys. So they get the edge there, because they might have been enough, you know, fun to be around, or at least better than these guys who would pretty much, you know, go away, drop dead, get away from me. That sort of thing there. I look at yours as a Bonds, Clemens, they're definitely Hall of Famers for me. Of course, I look at yours now, they take it away from me and I can't see yours anymore. Ortiz, sure. You know, I think he's the guy. I think Ortiz is going to be the domino. He's going to be the steroids guy who's on that list that's going to start the rest of these guys able to get in. You know, that's what it's going to be here. But Ortiz certainly deserves to be there by his numbers. Hard to argue that. You know, so Sheffield, I don't know. Sheffield and Kent, to me, on the whole, are very good. They're really right on the line here. And maybe, once again, when you look at my list, maybe my personal bias kept them out because I, you know, they weren't, like I said, I just thought they were complete jerks. And Sheffield was a Yankee. I still thought he was a jerk. You know, with that being said, I'll always remember that the bat thing where you bat, he had to, you know, really do that bat all the time. Always remember that.
Right.
So it's hard. I am a tough Hall of Famer. And what I mean by that is you need to be great. The greatest of the great here, not the whole of very good here. I would take guys out before I put them back in. I said, I only want the best of the best here, not guys who are very, very good, very, very, very good. No, you had to be great, not very, very, very good.
Well, you threw an extra very on there. I don't know if that changes things. All right, so George, who's on George Kurtz's ballot this year?
Now, I'll tell you, Craig, if you would have asked me this question 5 years ago, I probably would keep all the steroid guys out. I probably would. My opinion has changed mainly because they were all doing it. Or at least in my mind, 3/4 of them were doing it. You can't tell me that there's not already somebody in the Hall of Fame, more than one somebody, by the way, that was doing steroids. All right, they're already in. All right, and you cannot tell. To me, the Hall of Fame is a museum. It just tells the history of the game. You can't tell that history without the steroid era. You can't do it. And by the way, in the 40s, 50s, and on, they were using greenies. All right, you know, you had 2 pots of coffee in the clubhouse, unleaded and leaded. Unleaded did not mean not caffeinated. All right, so, you know, it is what it is there. So I'm putting Bonds in. You know, once again, another jerk, but great player. Absolute great player. It bothers me more with Bonds. He didn't need to do it. He was great anyway. One of the best eyes you'll ever see as far as a batter. He just knew what was a strike and what wasn't a strike. Granted, some of it maybe the umpire go off. He didn't swing at it. Must not be a strike. Roger Clemens, one of the best right-handed pitchers in the game here. You know, Yankee fan, before he played for the Yankees, hated him. Hated him because he would hit you on purpose. He didn't care. He wanted to intimidate you, and he did intimidate you because you knew he didn't care. Billy Wagner was a close one for me, but he was probably the best left-handed closer ever. I know closers are overrated. I get it. They pitch one inning, and sometimes that inning's against the 7th, 8th, and 9th batters in a 3-run lead. It doesn't matter. You know, I get it, but still, it's a tough job. We've seen a lot of pitchers fail in that area. Andrew Jones, I think it's a bad rap because at the end of his career, he was kind of slow. You know, he lost it kind of quickly here, but he was one of the best defensive center fielders ever. His home run totals were nice. He could hit the ball as well. I'm in it. I hate Alex Rodriguez. Can't stand him. All right. Yankee fan couldn't stand what he did, where he blamed everybody but himself. Can't stand the man. I don't want to listen to the ESPN broadcast because I can't stand him. When I watch the MLB Network, same thing. That being said, he's a Hall of Fame player. David Ortiz, like I said, I know he failed the test there, but still a Hall of Fame player, and he's done a very good job, so has A-Rod for that matter, in rehabilitating their careers but by their personalities. It's that one personality just grates me anyway. The other one, yeah, Ortiz has done a very nice job for the game.
All right. I think well done for both of our ballots, some different of opinions. You know, Andrew Jones is someone who I would consider for sure later on. A-Rod, I'll have to make that decision down the line. But Wagner, for me, I would not. I think that's the one that you kind of laid out the against him cases and then you voted for him. Yeah, and again, nothing against the player. But to me, with the closers and the modern day closers, I just think there's a huge difference between them and the ones in the past. Not that it's Billy Wagner's fault that he was a closer. And really, when you're put in a position, that's all you can do. But I got to have some of these other guys in before. And if he gets in, I still don't have a huge problem with it. But my additions were just Jeff Kent, Scott Rolen. We difference of opinion on Sheffield. Why not Schilling for you, George? You want to go down that rabbit hole?
Oh, but anyway, he's a jerk, complete idiot. You don't want to get in? Fine. I got no problem with that. I'm not voting for you. I did think about it. And I'll be the honest. Listen, if I had one game, I needed a pitcher to pitch that one game. Schilling's going to be on that list. Yeah, well, after he was a bulldog. I don't care about the bloody sock thing. I think that was so overblown, by the way. I'm still not sure that was blood. It was weird. It looked weird color for blood. But that being said, he was a bulldog out there. And if I had to win the one game, I'd have no problem rolling him out there. None at all, because he's going to give you what he has, right? Another guy, intimidator out there. No problem with him on the mound. But, hey, you don't want to be voted in? I'm not voting in. Fine. No issues here. And I know you had Roland and Kent there. Roland and Kent are really close to me. I did think about going for them.
Yeah, me too. Jeff Kent, you know, agreed, but the stats are just impossible to ignore. And I'm convinced, by the way, if Jeff Kent played on just one team the entire way, there'd be some crazy fan base saying, get this guy in the Hall of Fame. That's my opinion. All right, coming up next, we play our Tuesday game of what happens first in fantasy sports. We'll talk about that next. Stay on the grid.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's time to follow up on Twitter if you're not already, at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, fantasy content, sports wagering content, George Kirch's lunch ideas, everything that we have going on here in fantasy sports. Make sure you catch it on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. All right, it is Tuesday. We got George here, so it's time to play our little game of what happens first. I'm very excited. I did not really take a close look at these questions today, so as you are viewing and listening to us on Sports Grid Radio, I'm learning of these for the first time. Normally, I'm very heavily involved in every little piece of minutia here on the show, but I was like, today, I'm just going to let things be organic and flow. So, Brett, what do we got today?
All right. Well, our first question of the day is a little New York-centric, Craig. Sorry about that. But, George, it's probably a good one for you because it's been very dry for Long Island sports teams since the 1980s when the Islanders and Mets were on top of the world. So, George, what happens first? The Mets win a World Series or the Islanders win a Stanley Cup? George, what happens first?
All right. First off, I'm surprised it wasn't the Rangers win a Stanley Cup, seeing as though Brett Levy is a Rangers fan, and the Rangers are definitely closer to winning a cup than the Islanders are. Let's hope there is baseball this season that we can worry about the Mets winning a World Series. All right. The Mets. I love the hiring of Buck Showalter. I like the team they have here. I think the Mets, by the way, are a team that could benefit if we start late. You know, May 15th, Memorial Day, because they have those two veteran pitchers, right? DeGrom, who I don't know if can make 30-plus starts anymore. Scherzer, the same thing. So, you know, we cut it down to, you know, they got to make 25 starts in the playoffs. Could be very good for the Mets. Now you got the Braves in your division here. That's a problem. But we're going to have extra playoff teams. All right, whenever they figure this out, the lockout, we are going to have extra playoff teams. And the Mets are going to get in, because I think they're going to get in. I think they're a decent squad here. And I think Cohen will spend money. So the Mets get in here. No doubt in my mind. The Islanders are not getting in the playoffs this year. All right, that's not happening. Everything went wrong for the team. The opening 13-game road streak there. Then they didn't play well. Then they had COVID. They had so many games canceled. And the East is loaded here. That doesn't mean anything. I don't know if the Mets are going to win the World Series this year anyway. The problem is the Islanders are a veteran aging team. They're not getting any – they're literally not getting any younger. They may have had their best chance to win the Cup the last 2 years. So I'm going to say the Mets here. I'm not saying the Mets are going to win it this year or next year, but I think the Mets are closer to winning it, and they have money. Cohen will keep spending it. So the Mets are closer than the Islanders.
So this is like something that I know versus something that I don't know, and I tend to go with the don't know for the answer here, which would be the Islanders winning the Stanley Cup first. Now what I know about the NHL, and not knowing a ton about, I know the Islanders are not doing well this year. That I checked, okay? But beyond that, what I know is that it is easier to win a championship in the NHL being a 6, 7, or 8 seed than it is to win a World Series being a good team. So if the Islanders are able to turn it around in a year or two, I certainly think that they would qualify for this. But in terms of answering the question, what happens first, I'll go with the known in this case and go with the Mets, knowing sort of what they're doing and how they're putting things together. But I got to tell you, I may change my opinion on this pretty quickly if the Islanders at least make the playoffs. If I thought that there was a shot that they could finish as the 6 or the 7 or the 8, I'd take the Islanders. I've seen this happen before in the NHL, George, and so have you. San Jose, other teams, you know, getting to the finals as 7 or 8 seeds in the NHL. A lot of parity once that second season begins. But what happens first, Brett? I'll go with George here, and I'll pick the Mets.
All right. Yeah, basically, I just set that up so everyone had to say something nice about the Mets on today's show. But our next question, our next question, though, we'll go over to the NFL because the quarterback carousel is heating up. And two of the three biggest names on the carousel are Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. What happens first? Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers or Russell Wilson leaves the Seahawks? Craig, what happens first?
All right. Well, look, there's certainly a chance that both leave. There's a chance neither leaves. There's a chance one of the two leaves, and that could open up a whole different conversation. But what happens first for me is Russell Wilson leaves Seattle. I think that's what happens first, because my opinion, my guess, that's definitely what it is. If I had insight, I would tell you. My guess is Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of these guys that is going to say, is the grass greener on the other side? And that answer is no. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going right back to Green Bay, and I think that he's playing another season there, and he can be happy or he can be miserable doing it, whatever he chooses. But look, a lot of the stuff about Denver, oh, Denver's a great spot, and they're going to be just great. That's not a guarantee at all, by the way, in Denver too. New Orleans, some of these other places that are being discussed. I think it's over for Russell Wilson in Seattle. Regardless of what Pete Carroll says, that's a team, unlike Green Bay, who could probably compete again, probably host a home game again in the playoffs. This Seattle thing is done. I think they need to start over again and get some draft picks and find a way to get Russell Wilson on a different team. So I'm going to go Wilson here, George.
Yeah, this one, you said it. It wouldn't shock me if both these guys are moving on, but which one's going to get done first? That's really the question here. You went over all the parameters. I think you're thinking like a logical human being with Rodgers. The grass is, might not be greener. You know what you got in Green Bay. And you said, as things stand right now, this thing's changed dramatically. You're still winning the division next year, right, in Green Bay, right? I mean, the Bears aren't close. Lions aren't close. Vikings, they might be starting a sort of a renewal of their own. They go away from Kirk Cousins. Exactly. Here. So you're still winning that division here. So if I'm Rodgers, but once again, we're thinking logical. We are, because I wouldn't want to leave on Rodgers. You got one of the best receivers in the game with Davante Adams here. One of the best. But there's something he doesn't like about them. That comment he made after the game there about, oh, I don't want to be on a rebuilding team. Packers aren't rebuilding. They do have cap issues, but they're not rebuilding. Right? They'll still be a good team here. You know, Russell Wilson, though, I'm going to agree with you. Because I think it's not only him that sort of wants to get out of there, but I think his wife is pushing him as well. Sierra wants to – she wants to be in a bigger market for her career. You know, New York, of course, comes to mind. We just have two number one picks here. And you said it. Seattle needs to reap – they're not – even with Russell Wilson, they're not going to win. All right, that division is the division from hell. All right, Arizona is still a good team regardless of they can't play in the playoffs. The Rams, they might be set for a couple of years now. And the San Francisco 49ers, they just win ball games here. So I think Sierra is sort of pushing this as well here. And I think he is going to get out of there. I don't know if it'll be with the Giants, but I think it will be with another team. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if it's both. They're both gone, just that Russell Wilson gets done first. And we saw, you know, a year or two ago, trades can happen at any time. They can't really be official until the new year starts, which is somewhere in mid-March, but they can happen at any time. So nothing can shock me here. But I'm going to agree with you. Russell Wilson first.
Yeah. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers in Denver making that call to fight against Justin Herbert and the fight against Patrick Mahomes 2 games a year.
Why?
Like, why?
Why? Totally
don't get it. All right, Brett.
All right. Well, George, we'll lead off with you for this next question because I know Craig is not going to be a huge fan of our topic here. But Josh Gordon was waived yesterday by the Chiefs, and Antonio Brown, obviously. We all saw him walk off the field in week 17. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. What happens first? Josh Gordon signs with an NFL team or Antonio Brown signs with an NFL team? Antonio Brown went on some show yesterday and said he'd like to play with Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson responded with an emoji or whatever. So, George, what happens first?
Oi. I mean, my God. Antonio Brown, another guy we could really do a whole show on. He committed the cardinal sin, right? And listen, in the NFL, you can attack someone, you can beat someone up. Hell, you can murder someone. They'll put you on a team. But if you walk out on a team, that is a cardinal sin. You cannot do that. You know, and then what? After the Buccaneers lost, he actually posted Buccaneers eliminated. I mean, why would anyone want this guy on their team? Bill Belichick could control him. Tom Brady, who did nothing but stump for this guy. Yeah, come on. He got him on the Patriots. Then he got him on the Buccaneers. And then Brown turned on him and just burned him down. And, I mean, why would anybody want to take that? Why would anybody want Antonio Brown on their team? Well, because he could still play. That's why. He could still play the game. When his head is screwed on right, which is, you know, hey, not always, he could still play the game here. Although Brown will tell you, there's nothing wrong with my mental health. Yeah. Nothing wrong at all, buddy. Nothing wrong at all. Would you know what there was? So I'm going to go Antonio Brown here because there'll be somebody stupid enough to think, I can control him. I can get him to play for us. Yeah, I can do it. We see this all the time in the NFL. There'll be somebody out there who's thinking, you know what? If I don't win anyway, I'm already fired. So what do I care if he burns this house down as well? Burn down Pittsburgh. Burn down the Raiders. Burn down New England. Burn down Tampa Bay. I made the joke before about Craig slapping me 6 times and I don't duck. Well, here it's like 20 times. You're just an idiot. You know? If you sign Antonio Brown, you cannot be shocked when things work out terribly. It's like, well, what am I going to do? You knew it was coming.
People forget he was on the Raiders. That's how brief that tenure was. So, I mean, look, Brendan, it's not a bad question. You know, I don't mind talking about it. Although of very few things that I have been right about here since I've joined Sports Grid, Antonio Brown was pretty much I've been right virtually every step of the way with this guy. See if I can do it one more time. I'm going to say Josh Gordon signs with an NFL team first. How that happens, I'm not going to be clear. My guess is that we go 5 months without Josh Gordon being on a team, and then close to training camp, somebody naturally will take a shot on him. Personally, I thought it was insane how much attention this got when he signed with Kansas City. Like, wow, they got somebody good. But this has been going on for about, 7-8 years now with Josh Gordon. Wherever he goes, people think he's going to be good. People think he's going to be a factor. He was fantastic in Cleveland. He has not been anything since. But training camp invitation, minimum salary, you'd have 60 guys, 70 guys are showing up playing preseason games, George. You'd have to ask yourself, why not? There's nothing to risk there at that point. I don't think he's on an NFL team, but I think he signs with one before training camp. And I think he gets a gig before Antonio Brown. So I'm going Josh Gordon happens first, Brett.
All right. One last question before we get out of here. Really quickly, George, these two players have been in the NHL for a long time. They came in together thanks to a lockout. So, who retires first? Is it Sidney Crosby or Alex Ovechkin? George, who retires first?
I'm going to go Crosby here. It's not going to be AO. AO's not retiring until he gets the record. He'll need at least 4 to 5 years to get that record. So, it's not going to be AO. And he will get the record. He will pass Gretzky. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether he does or doesn't. He is the best goal scorer ever. You look at goalies back in the day, by the way, with Gretzky. They wore nothing. Literally, pretty much Craig with a better shirt on. That's it. You know, nowadays they wear all this equipment here. It'll be Crosby because AO's not going anywhere until he gets that record.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's also fair to sort of compare. I compare Ovechkin to, and a completely different player, by the way, in terms of being a scorer, but Jagr played for like 100 years, you know? And I think Ovechkin is going to go and do the same thing, whether it's with Washington or, I mean, you would assume Washington, but, you know, Jagr, no one ever thought he'd leave Pittsburgh. I mean, I can't even tell you the amount of teams he played on at the end of his career, but I'm going to agree with George here. Sidney Crosby retires first. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we wrap up this hour of Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, don't forget that this coming and every Sunday right here through the Super Bowl, you can catch me, Joe Pizzapia, Matt Stryker, as we take care of your Fantasy Football Daily Fantasy Championship entries this weekend. And I know, George, you'll be back here with me on Thursday, along with Davis Maddock and Matt Stryker and Joe and Davis. As put it down in your schedule, George, the Fantasy Football 2021 award show is going to be this Thursday right here on Sports Grid. I know you're all excited.
Oh, I got my tux. Rented a tux. I'm all ready for you. Got my penguin suit going on here. It's on the calendar. I got alarm set up for it. I told my wife, told the kids you can't be in the house. Even going to send the dog away.
I gave George a really important role on this show, the tight end position in fantasy football. He begged, he pleaded, can I go through the tight end awards? Of course, George, you can. That show, by the way, this Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, we'll be working on it throughout the week for you guys. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So hopefully you could join us for that show, no doubt. Any thoughts, George, on some of the construction for this tight end position? I know you've been working extremely hard getting ready for it.
Oh, listen, days here. I think when you know tight ends, when you think of fantasy, either you're drafting him early or you were leaving him alone, almost streaming a tight end. And this is another position I'm wondering if that's the way to go. If you're not willing to draft Kelsey, Andrews, Waller, whatever, early, you just wait forever. And then you can stream from week to week because you don't know who's going to come out and who's going to play well anyway.
Yep. No, tight end's tough. It's probably the hardest position in all of fantasy sports. The catcher position in baseball, definitely tough. If you have to play two, especially tough. But no question, tight end in fantasy football, a tough one as well. All right, that'll do it for our first hour of the show. Alex has got the update here at the top of the hour. George and I will be right back. A lot of Tampa Bay Buccaneers discussion here on this show. Some updated news, potentially, on Tom Brady. So we'll have that for you as well. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We're back in just a couple of minutes here after the top of the hour update. So stay on the grid.